From the very start, you had all the power. From the very start, I was in the palm of your hand.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are bringing you all of the internet's trendiest books and letting you know whether or not you should take the time to read them. And today we have a very special guest. We have, spoiler, we're doing an Allie Hazelwood book. So Casey decided not to participate. So we have her childhood bestie, Layton, with us.
Hello.
So, yeah. And I'm Caitlin.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Layton.
Woo! We replaced Casey, y'all, because we knew that she would have roasted this book as soon as it started.
Yep. So we got Casey part two, her other half.
Yeah.
Her other half.
Someone who reads maybe 5 books a year. I'm like the complete opposite. Whenever I can get one in.
You know what? That means you will be far less critical, and that could be a good thing.
I'm a regular non-English journalism major person.
Yes.
Reviewing book.
The STEM.
Yeah, I am the STEM.
Hey, and Allie Hazelwood is known for her STEMinism, so I guess we get that side of things.
Love it.
Okay, so if you couldn't tell, it's an Allie Hazelwood book, and it's her most recent book, Deep End.
Actually, no, she's published another one since then.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No. It's called Problematic Summer Romance.
You're fucking kidding me. She's written another one?
Yes.
This just came out.
I know.
Allie Hazelwood, take a break. Okay, well, not her most recent book, but it's probably one of her most talked about books in recent history. And it's also...
That's saying a lot. She wrote Bride.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, this was like the Bride part two of like... taking over book talk for a good solid week. And everyone was like, very heated opinions about this book. And it's, it delves into BDSM and BDSM culture, kind of. And it's set at Stanford University on the swim and dive team. And our main character, Scarlett, is a kind of type A control freak person who recently underwent an injury. And she's coming back from it, coming back into diving, and she has a mental block and she needs some therapy and support. And her life is kind of, how do you say, boring, I guess, until she runs into a Swedish swimming god on the team who was dating her teammate and now not so much. And it was because he is a dominant and wanted to have more kinky sex. And her teammate wasn't into that. And lo and behold, she's a submissive and is into that.
This was a really PG explanation, by the way.
I know. I'm trying my hardest. But this is not for the faint of heart. So if you don't like BDSM, probably shouldn't read this book.
But also, okay, people on TikTok, some people were like, it was an animated cover. Like, I didn't think it would be so dirty. I expected the worst. Honestly, way more vanilla when I read it than what I expected for Allie Hazelwood.
It's super vanilla.
So, like, don't let that turn you off from it if you just like a good little romance.
Also, there was a trigger warning at the beginning of the book. So people just miss that.
Also, I don't know what people were looking at on the cover. I thought, despite it being like a little, a drawn picture, cartoon, it was very sexual.
Yeah, it was a wet hands intertwining.
Oh my gosh, I didn't notice the wet part.
They're in a pool.
Oh no, I was reading this at the airport. No.
They're like in the pool.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Did you get some looks in the airport?
Maybe. I don't know. I hope not.
I love that.
No, girls will be girls.
I swear, I think I saw someone in public reading Ice Planet Barbarian, so.
That's so much worse.
Yeah.
So much worse.
Yeah. Anyway, do you guys have reviews?
I want to kind of relate
yeah
to what we were just talking about. This is Goodreads Pat's review, one star. Excuse me, but what does Allie think BDSM stands for? Bible discussion study meeting? Because our definitions surely don't match at all. Here we have another publication of the same book in a trench coat. The trench coat being sports and, quote, BDSM. And then it goes on, but I'm not going to read it.
That's, yeah.
Well, I'll match you. My two star says, kind of confused why they said there's kink in BDSM and all they did was have a lot of sex. And yes. Then I have a 3.75. This one made me think of Casey. Not the rating, but the wording. Good and relatable for anxiety girlies. However, minus stars for the use of the word flank at least four times.
Yes. I get that. I also, in the similar vein, have a one-star review from Goodreads, and it says, I think the kink got lost in printing of this book. I would rather jump off a cliff into a deep end water than read this again.
So, that's good.
Secretly read it and write that one?
I guess the kinkiness wasn't enough for the BDSM community, but... Overall, Goodreads rating was 3.9 out of 5, and overall Amazon rating was a 4.3 out of 5. Where did you guys fall in this book?
So, on my Goodreads, I put it down as a 3. I think if they had points, I would do it as a 2.75. I agree with the, like, I liked the exploration of the anxiety that she had with everything going on at Stanford. But the BDSM part and some other things that we'll get into later, I just like could not get past.
Oh, I know that Catherine and I.
Yeah.
I gave it 4 stars. Honestly, maybe more of a 3.5, but like, it's a silly little romance, and it made me smile once or twice. Is it high quality? No. Did I expect anything higher quality than what I got? Also no. So I am really, I was pretty okay with it. How realistic is it that they're, like, Olympian swimmers and applying to med schools and, like, having so much sex? Like, no. But also, it's a rom-com. That's the point.
Yeah. I also gave it 4 stars. To be fair, this is a 4 stars of like, this is not like the best quality book I've ever read. But I think in the context of the two books I read prior to this one were I'm Thinking of Ending Things and The Anxious Generation. So I needed a palate cleanser desperately. And so I read this book in literally 2 sittings and I devoured it. I stayed up until 1 a.m. reading this book. So I think that's where the 4 star comes from. It's more of where it fell in my reading journey this year.
That's valid. I literally read Iron Flame and the same day picked this up and it was a shift.
That's whiplash.
Yeah.
Those yeah. are pretty different.
I mean, both kind of kinky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Start with our normal discussion questions. Layton's like our number one listener fan, so she knows the drill. She listens to all our episodes and we love her. So the first question, as usual, is this book more plot or character driven?
It's so hard.
Honestly, I'd say it's a pretty even mix.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes me feel better because I read that and I was like, I haven't taken an English class since high school. And I was like, I'll be honest, I don't know. This is confusing.
To be fair, most romances are character driven with a plot. So,
yeah, I mean, I think
that makes sense.
Scarlett's anxiety is like, I would lean slightly more character than plot just because it is about Scarlett overcoming her anxiety. And her, like, kind of control freak tendencies. Honestly, I relate it.
Yes. But, me and Scarlett are besties.
That's probably why it was more like a 4 star for me. Because I was like, ooh, I see you, girl. Not in the other part of her, but I would say it's a pretty even mix though. Like,
yeah. Okay. This question can be easily answered by Caitlin and I, because we've read other books by this author and we've reviewed them on this podcast. But how about you, Leighton? Have you read any other Allie Hazelwood?
So at first when Casey like asked me about this episode, I was like, cool, I haven't read anything by her. And then I forgot that Bride is written by her, and I have read Bride, and that was wild.
Period.
Yeah.
Wow, you would read two of her greatest hits.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I don't know if I'll read another one. Probably, I probably will.
Yeah,
I honestly will.
Her normal STEM romances, which this was to an extent somehow, mm-hmm. still a STEM romance, and so was Bride somehow. But the normal ones are like pretty cutesy. I like them. Also, for anyone who has also read some of the other ones, the two main characters from Love Hypothesis make appearances in this book.
A lot of appearances, actually.
Yes.
It's crazy that I knew that, and I have not read the Love Hypothesis. I was reading the book, and I was like, these characters seem super familiar.
Yeah, so Olive and Adam pop up. Mm-hmm. And as we were telling Leighton beforehand, despite Casey not hating that book, that is the book where she, and I quote, said, "That's some knee-high sock bullshittery."
Mm-hmm.
And Allie Hazelwood, girl, if I see you in the streets, it's on site.
Yeah.
I think that was that book.
No, I think that was Bride.
Or was it Love on the Brain?
We forced her to read a lot of Allie Hazelwood.
Anyway, she's done. We'll bring Leighton back for mate.
Is that Bride too?
Yes.
I'll come back for that. I'm awesome. Intrigued.
It's her bestie. It's her story.
Yeah, it is her bestie's hybrid story.
So she's got at least three books coming out this year and had a Christmas book right before this that was like really short.
Well, that was a novella. I don't consider that a book.
It was cute. Awesome.
It was cute.
So, okay. What about the pacing of the book? Catherine said she's a crazy person and read it in like one day.
2 days.
Okay. I read it in like a week. Not that it was hard. I was just really busy. But it was still like, I think it was pretty easy to pick up and put down and come back to.
Yeah. I think it took me probably 4 days, and it was audiobook, and then I'd pick up in that physical book, and then I do audiobook and then physical book.
Oh, girl.
Do not recommend the audiobook.
Yeah.
Do not recommend it.
Graphic audio?
Yeah. No. Thankfully. No.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine this on audiobook.
Mm-mm. And then because what's his name? Lucas mm-hmm. has an accent.
Oh.
But it would only happen sometimes. It was only when he would talking. I don't know, it was a little jarring, so I recommend the physical copy.
Yeah, because he is Swedish, so that would be a weird accent to do.
Yeah, that was a strange choice. I'm wondering, okay, here are my thoughts. This book involves the twisties, so that was like a Simone Biles kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. And then the Swedish swimmer. There was the Swedish swimmer on TikTok. I think he was Swedish.
No, I think he was Danish.
They ate the muffins?
Yeah.
Oh.
I feel like he was Danish. The chocolate muffins at the Paris Olympics. Yes.
Yeah, the muffin guy who actually was not like a top Olympian at all, but was like the best entertainment of the whole Olympics. So I'm wondering if some of these were like inspired by current events, you know?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Well, his name is Henrik Christensen, which gives me Dane vibes. But they don't. Norwegian. Norwegian. Half a tweet.
Close. Still, I don't know. Well, would you watch a movie or TV show about this book? My answer is no.
That's fair.
At least not the BDSM part.
I don't really mind that. I might, depending on who's acting in it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was an interesting story. Yeah. Like the diving, swimming part. Like the diving part was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. She clearly did her research.
My niece was a D2 diver, so it was kind of cool seeing that represented.
Yeah. I'll be honest, that was one of my favorite parts, was the diving stuff.
Fair.
Which was a super small part. I think I'd definitely watch, I'd watch like an hour and 45 minute movie about it. Not 2 hours.
So like a Netflix movie.
Yes, if it was made by Netflix, like Netflix, yeah, I would definitely watch it. Maybe with like a glass of wine and a charcuterie board.
Ooh,
okay.
You're speaking
then
my
I think I can get behind it with like a bunch of girls around.
Oh, yeah,
fun.
I mean, a screen full of hot male swimmers watching, you know, the main character dive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. You've got me. I'm convinced. Okay, well, it's time for the busy girl ratings. Layton, would you like to go first again?
I think I would give it a 4. And taking off 1 point, because it is, like, kind of a big book.
Uh-huh.
For romance, yes.
It's like 400-something.
Yeah. Pages. It's like 450 pages.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, in, like, the audiobook, I think, was like maybe like 12 or 15 hours or something. It was long enough that I was like, oh my gosh, I have to listen to this on 1.5 speed.
Yeah, I agree with your 4 for the same reasons. Like, it's not a hard read. If you've read the trigger warning at the front, you know what you're getting into, so that shouldn't stop you. But it is like kind of long.
Yeah. I was kind of give it a 5, but you're making me want to give it a 4.
Do your own thing.
I mean, I read it in 2 days and I stayed up. I finished 75% of the book in the first sitting and I stayed up till 1 a.m. on a work night to read it.
It's not a hard read.
No, it's not a hard
read. Bro, give it that 5.
Yeah. I'm going to give it that 5.
Give it the 5.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a 5. I mean, if you like romance, you're going to enjoy this book. It's romance tropes galore. And I think Allie Hazelwood does a good job of creating interesting characters, that it's not just the romance. You have like actual feelings for these characters and you're like, want them to succeed outside of a romance. Yeah, I think she does a good job with that. So I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay.
We're here. It's the spoiler alert section. So that means if you haven't finished this book, stop here, pause, finish this book, and then come back and listen to our discussion on, was this kinky? And and all the things about this book and all the characters. Yeah.
Well, there's one thing I just want to start off with. Okay. So we're in the spoiler section. It's going to be PG-13 or higher from here on out because that's the book. What, you know, BDSM is not my genre, but like the craziest thing he did was smack her ass really hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, and minus like, one something. Other scene.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
There was no bondage.
No, not mm-mm. at all. No,
they talked a lot about doing stuff. And then didn't do it. And I was like, I'm not convinced Allie Hazelwood did any research about that. She did way more research about the diving, which was super cool and exciting.
Yeah, there was the sheet that they filled out that was clearly like a thing. And then they never did really anything on the sheet. It was just more about the power exchange, which was fine. Like that was like part of their personalities too. But I was like, oh, wow, so kinky. He spanked her.
Yeah, it felt very much so like every other sex scene she's ever written.
Yeah.
In any other book. Like, you could have inserted this into any other book. And, I mean, she always has a thing for the oversized man and small.
It was definitely another Kylo Ren style, like.
Yeah.
Please stop writing Kylo Ren. I don't even know their dynamic.
Yeah, Reylo fan fiction.
But also, I wasn't mad because I kind of loved both the characters. So
yes, I mean, I do like, and I'll give props to her, and she always does a good job about this, is she really makes it clear about consent, and she makes sure that the main characters are always in a situation where they're both consenting adults and they're okay with everything that's happening. They have a safe word. They're following the rules. And I think a lot of times, and I think we've grown a lot in the romance genre in this day and age, but in the past, it's always been like male dominating woman, and the woman is too scared to fight back. So she just lets it happen, or it's fetishizing essentially the lack of consent. So I appreciate that Allie Hazelwood and many other romance authors in this day and age, especially they're all women that do that, are writing to the female gaze, not the male gaze.
Well, and she also like made a point to say like the internal dialogue of Scarlett was like, I know that like being a submissive is like totally anti-feminist, but like I need a break where I don't have to decide what I'm doing for myself. Like she acknowledges it could be problematic in certain circumstances, but explains why it is not in this instance. Mm-hmm. So good for you, Allie Hazelwood. Feminist icon.
She actually went viral. It has nothing to do with the book, but she recently went viral.
The Hunger Games?
Yeah, The Hunger Games, and how she hates PETA and likes Gale.
What? That is a hot take.
I know. Yes. And every other author on the panel was like, you're crazy.
The other author was like, okay, everybody, please use hashtag cancel Allie Hazelwood on all of your next tweets.
No.
Jokingly, but it was very funny.
It was very funny. But she stuck 10 toes down to that opinion. She's like, PETA's so weak.
Yeah, it's because Gale gives more of the Kylo Ren vibe.
Yes, she likes strong, tall men. That is what we've learned from Allie Hazelwood in reading every single fucking one of her books. It's 5 foot tall woman, 6 foot five tall guy.
Uh-huh. Hey, you know what? Being a swimmer and a diver, I'll allow this time because that is correct.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's get into our discussion questions.
Yeah, sorry, I just went off.
No, you're good. I get it. There's not a lot of kink in this book, despite it being labeled a kinky book. What did you think about our main couple of Luke and Scarlett? How about their quote unquote meet cute in this book, which is Penn basically getting drunk and saying, oh my God, you two both love fucking and you love BDSM. What'd you think of that?
See, that still makes me like blush.
I know.
I love the two characters. I did not love how they meet. I'm unsure how kinky sex leads to falling in love the way they did. But you find out that Lucas took notice of Scarlett long before he was out of his relationship with Penelope, and that he was always in it for more than just the power exchange. So that let some of it slide. Like the whole time he was in it for more, Scarlett was just obviously too dumb to see that miscommunication trope. Individually though, I really liked the characters. They had complex backgrounds, both of them, that were pretty built up, and Penn made them each more complicated. I don't know if I love that, but like it definitely added to their dynamic. But yeah, the meet cute, not so much.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the meet cute situation. I think I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think I would have really liked that when I was in college.
Mm.
I think if I was in college reading this book, then I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, not that this exact same situation would happen, but you kind of like think like, oh, like maybe like that could happen. I could place myself in that same like situation or something, and I can see it like maybe happening to me at some point in a completely like different way. But reading it now, I was like, okay, I guess this is fine. You have to start the book somehow.
I immediately put down the book and walked away for like 5 minutes. I was like, I get secondhand embarrassed, and that made me so uncomfortable and so embarrassed, because I'm like, to have your sexual preferences put out like that into a guy that you obviously are attracted to is wild. Yeah, no, but I appreciated I think Luke, Allie Hazelwood always writes really great male main characters. I will say I have critiques about Scarlett because she is clueless, and I hate when women are this clueless. I am okay with like the anxiety and the mental health issues, but she was just like, oh, he was flirting with me. Oh, you're in love with me. I never would have guessed. I'm like, yes, you did. Come on. It's okay. He keeps asking you the same question over and over.
Yes, obviously. But also, she was so wrapped up in her own like mental battle and also in having Pin as a friend and apparently her first like real friend. That I see how she was trying not to think about it. I think she was pushing it away other than not noticing it, you know? But yeah, I mean, same story. Or rebaked, but I'll eat it every time.
Literally repackaged love hypothesis.
Yep.
You have to sell books. Gotta make a living.
If it works, you know, keep going.
Yeah. I don't know. I did like her, though, because I liked the whole mental block twisty story. And I liked that Luke called her out on her bullshit and was just like, you can't be this clueless. Like, yeah, that lab tech is obviously trying to ask you out. The entire swim team tried to ask you out and you kept saying no. And she's just like, oh, I knew about some of them, but I didn't know about all of them. And he's like, you need to be more aware of your surroundings.
I don't know how I feel about the fact that he helped her. Like, it's cute that he helped her overcome her mental block. But also, like, do it on your own, girl. Like, female empowerment. I mean, I guess she mostly did it on her own. He just kind of, like, triggered the thought in her head. But still. And also, from the cover, I expected a lot more stuff in the pool between the two of them.
Yes. Not just
that one scene where she gets over her mental block.
They more so have sex in the lab than they do in the pool.
Yeah, the end pages of the book show the power exchange in the pool. Because in one end page, his hand is over hers. And in the other end page at the end, her hand is over his. And so
oh, I didn't expected notice
much
that.
More. Yeah, pretty deep, actually, for kinky art in the book. Because, you know, you get to the end and realize she was the one in power the whole time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, she got over a mental block thanks to his nudging.
Well, to be fair, he had the key to get into the place, so she kind of needed him.
Well, just even the, like, it took him being, like, do you still have fun diving? And, like, talking about his mother dying for her to get over it. I was like, you don't need the man, but also it was cute.
I did not like that right after she got over her mental block, they went into the locker room and, like, had sex there.
In front of
her
locker.
Yeah. Was that all at the same time? I can't remember. Yeah. But I remember just feeling like, I feel like that just negated all of the work. Like, I feel like this was a huge deal for her to overcome this. And then they just, like, go and do that. I was like, I don't know if it could have been written a different way where, I don't know. I keep forgetting that the main focus of the book, one of the main focuses is technically them doing that. But it kind of put like a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth that it happened right after such a big breakthrough.
They have sex way too much.
Yeah. If you took out most of the sex scenes, it would make the book the appropriate length and a good story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm sorry. The locker room is real gross. Like, has you ever been in a locker room, Allie Hazelwood?
Especially a swim.
Yeah, it's
related.
Nasty. So many locker athletes. Room. So much fungus. So much mold. Like, it smells disgusting.
Stanford, they probably have more money than us.
You cannot get the funk of a swim locker room out. I was on the swim team. Trust me, you can't get that funk out. I would not be having sex in a locker room.
I wouldn't be having sex most of the places they had sex.
But that one especially, I was like, y'all need to stop.
Surely there's security cameras somewhere around there. I know
the lab.
They're like, changing, but
if you're truly doing lab research, I guarantee every lab has
security. The library study room.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. Much.
I mean, that's technically a kink, is like voyeurism. So
I guess that's true. But was it on the list?
On the list? I don't think it was on the list. Well, we don't find out truly what's on the list, except for what's not on the list, which is like gags and then like a couple other things. Demeaning.
I was upset that there was no list at the back of the book when I went back to see what the list was.
That'd be so
cool. No, I'm good. I'm good that there was no list. I don't think I need to know what that commonly used BDSM list entails.
I kind of wanted to see it. I agree with Layton. Like, I want to see it.
But also, nothing in this book gave me BDSM.
No.
Not that I'm an expert, obviously, but...
Because I was expecting some bondage, since that's the
exactly. BDSM. They and people were like, collars.
Yeah, and people were like, oh, it's like 50 Shades next level plus diving. It was
normal Allie Hazelwood, but they spanked and did a little bit of, you know, butt stuff.
And they definitely had a lot more sex in this book than any other of her other books.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you eliminated like 3/4 of the sex scenes, it would be like a 5-star book.
Yeah, because it was kind of repetitive by the end.
It like, was. It really was. I was kind of like, oh, here they go again.
Like the first one, hot as fuck, because it was like power dynamic. You could see the BDSM starting, but then it just got dry.
And then they were just banging all over Amsterdam. I was like, aren't you supposed to be like winning medals or something?
Yeah, I didn't think you could just go and tour this.
I'm pretty sure you can't.
Well, so my big thing was Amsterdam would have been a huge opportunity to do something more BDSM-y. Because like
the red light
Amsterdam is so sex positive that they really could have done she could have explored so much with that.
Period. Yep. That's true.
Wasted potential.
But they were getting too emotionally attached at that point.
Apparently.
I feel like there are couples who are into BDSM that get emotionally attached but still can do that stuff.
Here's the other thing. So when we're getting to that point in their relationship and she wins the gold at the NCAA thing. Was that what it was? I don't remember. And they are kissing and they got caught kissing. I sat there. I was like, what's the big deal? And then I was like, oh, my God, I forgot they still haven't told anyone that Penn and Luke broke up.
Yeah.
I was like, that was such a weird component to the story. I know it was like a tension builder, but I was like, this is icky at this point. And no wonder she was always on edge about it.
Yeah. I think that too.
That drove me crazy because I was like, they're not telling anybody, so that means someone's for sure going to, like, walk in on them doing something, and then it's going to, like, blow up, and, like, stuff like that, and, like, best friend's ex stuff, like, drives me absolutely crazy, and especially after I had read Iron Flame, and, like, that was handled in a way that I really liked, and then going to this, without getting too much into that, but then getting into this... I don't know.
And then Penn was like, how could you do this to me? I was like, bitch, this was your idea.
You asked for it. You
it took away a whole star.
Yeah, basically.
That was -1 star for me.
Well, I could see where it was going because I knew, like, obviously the miscommunication miss, like, that's a whole trope. I hate miscommunication. That's, like, one of my biggest pet peeves. And love triangles. And it was kind of a love triangle.
Miscommunication is, like, the whole rom-com genre.
I know, but like, especially between friends, like, I don't think you can do that very well. It was very interesting when they were meeting that other swimmer that really didn't like Penn and was like saying, like, watch your back. I thought there was going to be more to that. Like,
I thought Penn was going to be a villain, like an actual villain.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like she was
like
a sociopath.
A 2-minute villain.
Yeah. But it turns out that like that lady was just crazy. And then, like, she still doesn't tell Penn. I'm like, you guys just bonded over this. Like, you can tell her being like, hey, I'm actually getting feelings for him.
Also, your gateway into her friendship was being honest about your sexual perversions. You can't tell her that you've developed feelings for the boy. Like, the honesty started way deeper than that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the fact that, like, Penn felt entitled to him, even after, like, she's
that was super annoying. And it kind of explained it later that, like, they both went through hard things as teens and they've been each other's crutch emotionally this whole time. I'm like, okay, cute. But also, like, you're, like, 22 now.
But at this point, we already knew that they were in an open relationship.
Yeah, but she, Pen, had no other friends besides those two.
But then, like, to ruin her gold medal moment.
Okay, I do want to ask, okay, this is still kind of on the topic of their relationship, I guess. When Luke was talking about how Pen wanted to try threesomes, and he said, the only person I ever asked for was you, what did you think?
I was like, oh, so he's been emotionally cheating on her for how long? How long have they been in college?
I mean, I think he was just curious.
3 years.
Oh, cute girl.
3 years, yeah. 3 years.
But I was like, Pen, you little slut.
I mean, I saw that coming because they had been dating since, what, they were 16 or something?
Yeah, but how was it somehow kind of cute? Like, why was that kind of endearing? It should not.
Oh, I was endeared by it. But at the same time, it was definitely like you could see the breakdown of the relationship a lot sooner than what it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is emotional cheating.
That he asked for her in a threesome.
Yeah. Well, in the, I mean, like, I guess it just shows that he was just kind of along for the ride in that relationship because Pen kept being the one being like, let's do this person. Let's do this person. And then
he was like, all right.
Yeah, and I guess Pen was okay with it, but because Scarlett was dating someone, that was why.
And then when Pen didn't even know who his brothers were, I was like, okay. Yeah.
Then you didn't actually know him.
No.
For 7 years?
Yeah, never went to Sweden, nothing. I'm like, that's fucked up.
They're just friends from childhood. And, you know, I love that a lot of authors are kind of diving into the complexity of developing relationships from, like, childhood to college and college to adulthood. Like, that's why I love Happy Place by Emily Henry. It's about, like, stages of friendships and how sometimes they don't make it from one to the next. This was just a really weird way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that Pen came back and apologized, but that was, I was still mad at her even after the apology. I was like, I don't even care if you flew all the way out here. I'm still mad at you because what you did was so fucked up.
Yeah. I did like when she showed up in Sweden though, and you find out that actually he's so chill the whole time, but he's like tracking her location because he is so like, needs to know where she's at because he's worried about her all the time. You're like, oh, you are just a big old cinnamon roll.
A stalker cinnamon roll, but yeah.
Yeah. I think my mom checked my dad's location 5 times today while we were out. So, you know, love, I guess.
Love in the 21st century.
Okay, so we are on the topic of side characters. We mentioned Pen. We mentioned Luke's one brother. So we have, like, the whole swim and dive team. We have Luke's roommates. We have the other divers. One sustains an injury. That adds some complexity. So we actually get a decent amount of side characters, including Adam and Olive. What did you think about our quirky little cast of Stanford athletes?
I'll be honest. I could not keep the teammate straight. I could not do it. Especially jumping back between the physical copy and the audio copy.
Oh, yeah, no way.
I like.
That's why I don't love audio.
It like doubled the characters. It's like, I'm so confused. I don't know who's who. But yeah. And then the two professors, I don't know much about them, but based on the way they were featured so heavily, I was like, they have to be from like another book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the premise is Olive is Scarlett and Adam is Luke. And Adam's like the toughest, meanest professor in all of Stanford history. And so the fact that he gave Scarlett like an A+ is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because Olive turned him into a softie.
Yeah. I love that moment because like he is notorious for like flunking all of his like undergrad students because he's forced to teach undergrad, and that's like the whole premise, well, not the whole premise of Love Hypothesis, but he's like an asshole to everyone and super prickly, and Scarlett does so well that he's just like, yeah, I've actually recommended you to someone, one of my colleagues who's really interested in this research, but I would have snatched you up too if it wasn't connected.
Also, and then, what kind of undergrad are you doing all that stuff? No,
I know, no. No undergrads doing that much research. I guess I shouldn't be asking. I should be asking Layton this because Layton, you actually were in STEM.
I was STEM. I was design STEM. I'm an architect. So I did more studio than lab.
Yeah,
still, that's more STEM than us.
I don't see, you know, undergrad in a random class taking a really leading position on a pancreatic cancer study. I just
know. Is that what it was?
Yes.
I don't see it. So
no,
I was more interested in the diving.
Yeah, yes, for sure. All were. I mean, like, I appreciated the cameos because I liked how Scarlett and Adam were like debating each other, and Scarlett was just like, "So you're gonna give me that grade?" He's like, "Does it matter?" And she's like, "Yeah, it does." And then she gets an A+ in the end, which is really funny. But then I felt a little shortchanged because they showed up to her diving competition, and that's the last we hear of it. Like, they don't see her afterwards because the whole thing blows up. And I'm like, if you're going to mention that they're there, I feel like there needs to at least be an interaction, because that's when Scarlett finds out that they're married. And that's funny because she's just like, there's no way those two, like, what? But I feel like you would have to have them eventually meet up and say like, oh, congrats on the win or something like that. But no.
It's just foreshadowing. That's all.
Whatever.
I know. Okay, well, we've briefly touched on Scarlett's injury and mental block, so she can't do inward dives because she got majorly injured doing one. She's back to diving. She just can't seem to get over that one and can't figure out why. She's got the twisties, or I guess in diving you call them the yips, which, okay, diving, strange name. What do we think of our anxious overachiever queen Scarlett and her mental block?
I think technically the yips come from golf, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I really liked that part, and I kind of related to it a good bit because I just finished my architecture exams, which is how I was able to read the book in general. And like, I had this similar thought process that she has with her MCAT. And being like so surprised that she did well, even though she technically put in literally like all of the effort and then some, is that's exactly how I felt, like absolutely shocked. And I really liked that. It hit a good point in like my life to read that part. And I really liked the therapist. I like go back and forth on about her character, Sam.
Yeah.
I think, but I don't know. I'm happy they like didn't. I'm happy it was a happy breakthrough for her and that it ended up being like happy overall, because I was a little scared something was going to happen. I don't know what, but I was still like on edge when like things were improving. I was scared she wasn't going to win the NCAA championship, even though I know that would be like more like reality, but I really wanted her to win like that.
She was like, okay with it. Because she worked on herself.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I enjoyed how she rethought about diving after the injury, because like, I mean, a labral tear is huge. Like it like her injuries were bad. And the fact that she came back because she felt like she was obligated to come back, but then she felt pressure from everyone around her and felt like she was like failing her past self. And I like that it was brought back to, are you having fun? Is this fun for you? Because if it isn't, then you should just quit. Like you don't need to stay in this just to make other people happy. And it was like, just go out there and have fun and do the best you think you can do. And I think that was really encouraging. And I think that also like really showed how a lot of people, because like, I feel like in this day and age, a lot of people our age were forced into competitive sports by their parents, and then they burned out by high school, college, and they had shit ton of injuries. They were mentally just everywhere, all over the place. And like, they were really good at this sport, but they lost all of their happiness for it. And so I really enjoyed kind of the journey through her mental block and her realizing like, no, I can still have fun in this sport.
I mean, me and my therapist have recently come to the conclusion that a lot of my anxiety comes from the unrealistic expectations I put on myself. So
that'll do
know,
it.
I was like, okay, Scarlett, I see you. Like, did anyone tell you you have to do this? No, that was really just your own little mental thing you built in your head and it will be okay. And am I as self-realized as she is at the end of the book? No, I'm not there yet. But like, good inspiration.
Yeah. We love a self-actualized queen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought that, like, the diving in her anxiety journey were definitely the most interesting part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and her feelings on therapy was funny. Yeah. Where she was just like, I know I have to go to this, but I really don't want to. And I don't really actually want to
going.
Talk. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, was it unrealistic, everything that actually happened when she overcame her problems?
Yeah.
It was unrealistic, yeah. But it was sweet because it's a little, you know, it's fiction.
And hey, she won the silver medal in the Olympics.
With Penn.
With Penn, yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
It was in the epilogue.
Did you not read the epilogue?
I think I did.
Were they like in the hospitals working opposite shifts?
Yes, I did read that. I was like, oh my goodness.
It's like very much slipped in there. Like all of the like what happened next are just slid in there very lightly.
I think that's when I was audiobooking it. And I think I had to rewind at one point.
That would have been hard on audio because it was very like, it flipped like time, little memories from Luke every like five sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot.
I don't know. We've kind of talked about a lot. So just like, what do you think of the unrealistic ending that was cute and wholesome?
I like
by the end, I bought it.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the end, I was like, all right, I'll take it.
Yeah. I like her realize, like, I appreciated that she went to him, not him coming to her, even though he was going to come to her. She didn't come to him in like 2 or 3 days. But I like that it was her being like, okay, I have to make this up and I'm going to go to Sweden. And I love his family. They were so sweet. And like, oh my God, I got to make a good impression on the sister-in-law. Like they're so sweet about it.
But they both just, they did not at first mention that it was summer. We mm-hmm. skipped his graduation. I was like, did they both just leave in the middle of the semester? What is happening?
Yes.
Yes. I didn't even think about that. That did not even cross my mind.
They said it was like, what, June or July?
Yeah, they said, finally she said something about summer when she was in Sweden. I was like, oh, I thought they both just bailed like midterm.
Could they have been like the NCAAs were during the summer?
Possibly, yeah. They just, that wasn't clarified. And Luke would have graduated at some point.
Yes.
So I did get confused briefly. But yeah, it was cute. It was romantic. They're living their dreams. They're engaged. They have a cat. They still
do. They talked about a dog the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was cute. I do, you know, in the end, she had all the power the whole time, you know. Cute, whatever. I ate it up.
Same.
Mm-hmm. At that point, I was already 425 pages in, and I was like, I'll take it.
Yeah, true. I mean, you don't romance. The entire definition of the genre is the main character is a guaranteed a happy ending. So Yes. We got what we wanted. It's like in the contracts of the people who write these books.
I guarantee it is.
I think it, like, from some author events I've been to, I think literally is a romance author contract that the characters get a happy ending.
Well, people would rate it horribly if they did it.
It wouldn't be romance. All
died in the end. What?
Yeah.
No. That's some dystopian stuff.
I mean, The Notebook.
Okay. Good point.
Yeah.
It was still a happy ending, though.
But was it?
They were together.
In death.
I don't know. A Walk to Remember. You know, you've got all these. I don't know.
You take what you can get. In death, then it's death.
Would you watch it again, The Notebook?
No.
No.
Oh. I think I have watched it multiple times, so.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's one of those that's just sometimes on TV, you know?
Titanic. That's another one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for ruining my whole point.
Well, I mean, you're right. Romance books, other than The Notebook. Yeah. But Nicholas Sparks is known for that stuff.
Yeah, we're just going to exclude him.
Yeah.
In this scenario. And more like today's romance. It would get absolutely flamed on the internet. In
a silly little rom-com like this.
Yes, rom-coms, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is this a rom-com or is it a romance? I never know where to draw the line. She has witty banter, so I feel like it's rom-com. And it's like a comedy of errors, so.
I think if there's miscommunication, it's a rom-com.
Okay. So a rom-com. So definitely a happy ending.
Yes.
Or else it loses the calm part.
Yes.
Okay, interesting discussion. Well, that's it. I don't really know what else to dive into in this book. Sorry, no pun intended there. Literally, no. I didn't realize what I said as I said it. Do we want to do book recommendations?
So I don't have a book recommendation, but for an interesting, controversial power play situation, the movie Baby Girl had that. Have y'all seen that movie?
No.
It's interesting. And another one to watch with like a group of girls or something. I watched it with my boyfriend in a movie theater in public, which I do. It was great watching it with him, but in public in a theater, it was a little weird. But that one explores a different type of like power play situation with an intern and then the CEO, who's a woman.
Okay.
And I don't know. It's an interesting movie, and it's the only thing I could come up with besides like 50 Shades.
Well, I'll give you an athlete story, and Carrie Soto is back.
Ooh, good one.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
She also had an injury, career ending, but came back on top thing, a little more serious, a little less fun, has only a smidge of romance, but
Taylor Jenkins Reid does a fantastic job.
Yes. I don't even
know. And it should be a movie soon, because Serena Williams actually picked up the rights to that movie, which is going to be so cool.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. Executive producer Serena Williams on a tennis movie. Sign me the fuck up.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm going to go kinky route and I'm going to go Butcher and Blackbird, because I think it's kinkier than this book.
100%.
Yeah. It's we reviewed that one on this podcast, and it's interesting to say the least. And if you're into kind of dark rom-com romance, that's the book for you.
Actually, Leighton, I really think if you haven't read that one, you should add it to the list.
I'll add it.
It made me laugh.
I'll do it.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, I don't think I watched that episode yet.
Yeah, it's.
So they're both serial killers and they cross paths when they're after the same target.
Wait, that's so fun. I definitely have not watched that episode yet.
Yeah.
Which is good, because a lot of times I'll watch
with the audiobook for different reasons.
No. She didn't have issues. She enjoyed the audiobook.
Don't listen in public.
Yeah. The
that's
audiobook.
So funny.
The main character of that book is Irish. And they flip perspectives multiple times throughout different chapters. And they actually had an Irish man read those chapters.
Oh, I love that.
So It is, I Casey convinced me to download the audiobook, and I've listened to some of it. It's good with his voice.
Noted.
Oh, yes. Okay, well, this has been really fun. Leighton, you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great idea to do a book Casey would hate with her best friend. Yay. Yeah. And
this was
I can't
so
wait
fun.
To see her review on our episode. That's it, I guess. Casey normally takes over this part, but follow us, Busy Girls Pod, anywhere you're on social, busygirlspod.com. Drop us your book recommendations. Maybe give us a break from the weird kinky ones. I'm good for a minute on that. But, and you can watch us on YouTube. But yeah, feel free to rate and review, and keep up with us as we keep tackling the internet's most popular books. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Layton.
Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.